Hello and welcome to podcast number 29. This is a follow-on, really, from podcast 28, which was a commentary on Ring Them Bells. Thank you to everybody who sent in emails commenting on the format of that particular podcast. It was very much an experiment, and I received probably about half a dozen emails suggesting that whilst people enjoyed what it was I had to say, that I introduce somebody else to the podcast so that it's not just me commenting, and hopefully there'll be less dead time on the recordings. So I'd like to introduce Angela, who is my wife, and welcome, Angela, to your very first podcast.
Hello, James, my husband.
No, there's also a third person here, is our little daughter, who was born just over 4 weeks ago and is the reason as to why there has been a distinct lack of Dad's Army podcasts. She's incredibly demanding. Anyway, first of all, the episode that we're going to be talking about now, if you haven't read it already on the website, is The King Was in His Counting House, and that was suggested by Ivan Rattray. Thank you, Ivan, for sending in your email. And depending on how this commentary goes, I may read your email in full during the commentary, or maybe just refer to parts of it and other messages that we've received. So, Angela, Dad's Army then. So would you like to explain to everybody how much you enjoy Dad's Army and the history that you and the programme has?
Well, I actually know very little about Dad's Army. I remember it being on TV as a child. Not that I particularly watched it. It was just something that was mostly on in the background. So I know some of the characters. I know a little bit about it, mainly from you. But it's not one of the programmes that I would say was sort of in my top 10. But it'd be quite interesting to watch a full episode after so many years.
Would it make it into your top 20?
Probably not.
Would it make it into your top 30?
I don't know.
And Angela is here very much doing us a favour so that you don't just have me talking to you. Anyway, this first scene, the king is in his counting house, is a slightly different opening to most Dad's Army episodes, in as much as it's the opening is in the bank rather than a parade. Now, this, of course, is how some of the early episodes opened. Certainly the episodes in Series 1 usually started off in Mannerin's office, excuse me, with Wilson and Pike, and occasionally a member of staff from the bank. And I have to admit, I enjoy seeing these little scenes in between the main characters, really. Well, Mannerin, Wilson, always the main characters, and Pike being a member of Mannerin's establishment, always comes in and usually provides quite comic lines, really. This episode, again, is different because to the normal episode, because it tries to place the characters that we're all familiar with into a slightly different scenario. Obviously, we're used to Mannerin being confident and in charge of both his platoon and his team at the bank. And of course, you take all of the Jonesy's section out of the platoon scenario, and all of a sudden you've got a bunch of people who have real difficulty interacting with each other.
They all look quite awkward there, don't they?
Well, I think this is one of the strengths of the actors within this programme, their visual acting, which of course you get to see far more of when you do these commentaries because you've got the sound down low. All of them look ill at ease, don't they?
But very much so. It's a very awkward party.
I know. And it's kind of backfiring, really, because I don't actually think Mannerin realised how difficult this scenario would be. And I think it's quite interesting for a number of reasons. I mean, not just the actual storyline itself, but the set here, which is Mannerin's front room. And I'm not entirely certain whether it was specially built or designed. But is filled with what Mannerin calls curios and various different things. And Mannerin, throughout his entire conversation here, tries to reinforce the image of how he would like to be seen rather than how things are. He refers to his father as a master tailor when he was a draper, and that's absolutely typical. We have our first telephone call interrupting things. Okay, so we've now dealt with our phone call, hence the probably rather clumsy edit, but hopefully The DVD is still in sync. The phone has now been turned off. So we were talking about the slightly awkward scenario that Man are in and his colleagues are in here. And again, virtually all of Dad's Army, the humour is based on the disparity of the classes, mainly between Mannerin and Wilson, and how Mannerin strives to be upper class and tries and fails miserably, and Wilson manages it effortlessly and really doesn't care what kind of, doesn't really care how people see him. Now, Angela, you may recognise that woman who's just walked in, or the actress who's just walked into the scene.
Absolutely, that's Wendy Richards, a very young Wendy Richards.
It is indeed, yeah. So, probably more or better well known as Pauline Fowler from EastEnders.
That's right, yes.
You'd recognise her, I think, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely, and I remember seeing her in other things as well. She was in a few films, I think, when she was even younger than when she's, than appearing on this. And I think she did a couple of songs in her time as well.
Did she
Or
really?
yeah, I think she did some backing vocals or some talking parts on some one song at least.
Right, okay. This might be a particularly difficult podcast to listen to, so I am actually quite desperate to get something out because it's been over a month now. But I think it could be the most unique, and obviously our daughter is very keen to try and get in on the act as well. I mean, Wendy Richards actually made a few appearances in Dad's Army, mainly as Walker's girlfriend. I think he introduced her as Shirley in this particular episode, and I have a feeling that she's featured in other episodes under a different name, which happened a couple of times with characters in Dad's Army, particularly the minor characters like Mrs. Fox. I think she's been given two Christian names in the past. And certainly the verger's wife, Mrs. Yateman, has been given two Christian names. Anyway, getting back to how the party is going along, which is where, of course, they're all referring to each other by their Christian name. And again, that leads into a number of jokes, particularly with Pike not being allowed to use Mannerin's Christian name. It is quite an interesting scene, this one. Going on for some time. Beer going into wine glasses. Fraser mentions that that's to make it go round further rather than induce a convivial atmosphere, as Mannerin asserts. So. And this is slightly reminiscent, I suppose, of the scene in the very final episode of Dad's Army, where all of them have got a drink in their hands, and they all make a toast. And not just the final episode, but the final scene as well. Again, another situation which Mannerin wouldn't normally have to deal with is Walker taking Shirley over onto the couch.
He's really not sure what to do.
No. He often finds himself in quite difficult predicaments, Mannerin, where it comes to Walker, or when it comes to women in general, actually. And we'll talk about this a little bit later on with the introduction and his relationship of Mrs. Mannerin. But certainly, if you think of other episodes from different series, in particular, Mum's Army. Mannerin has a slightly awkward relationship with all of the women who he ends up recruiting into the platoon, with the exception, of course, of Mrs. Gray, and that relationship develops. Now, this scene here, where Mannerin is showing people around his home, again in an effort to try and establish or assert himself as a higher class individual. Jokes were made there as the crystal ball. Oh, it's not a crystal ball, is it? What is it? A snowstorm of some kind.
Snowstorm, yeah.
Yeah,
Paperweight,
that's
probably.
right. Which Pike inadvertently dropped on the floor earlier on in the episode. and lost all the snow. So, going back to the original opening of the podcast, I mentioned that we'd received messages from a number of individuals. I will read this one from Ivan Rattray. Dear James, I'm a new listener to the Dad's Army podcast. I have only listened to the last two episodes, and I have to say that I very much enjoy the audio commentaries to the television episodes. I think, as you mentioned at the end of the latest podcast, it may work slightly better with two people, allowing for discussion. But I still think the podcast works. Well, I hope this is slightly more interesting. As I said, it's slightly more bizarre for me, given that
It's a little bit different, isn't it?
given that I have a 4 week old in my arms here, and my wife who knows not too much about Dad's Army, I do hope it's actually proving to be entertaining. I'm a relatively young fan of Dad's Army, Ivan continues. If 25 years old is considered young, well, I consider it young. How about you,
Oh,
Angela? 20.
definitely.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
I have to admit, at the moment, with a young baby, I feel about 125. Anyway, Ivan goes on, but grew up with it, and it is certainly my favourite TV show. I very much enjoy learning about the new trivia around the episodes, such as locations, but I think your amusing commentary on the sets and the amateur special effects is spot on, and to hear someone else illustrate them is great. Well, it's slightly harder with this particular episode, Ivan, and that's because there isn't a terrific amount of location shooting. I mean, there is towards the end, and we will talk about that. But the vast majority of this episode is dialogue based, with a couple of major incidents, of the first of which we're leading up to now with Hodges' introduction here. The last thing Ivan finishes off with is one last thing, an episode you may consider to make a commentary on, unless you already have. It's probably one of my favourite episodes, is The King Was in His Counting House. I think it has a good mix with some exterior and even some action shots at the end. Thanks again and all the best, Ivan. Well, thank you ever so much, Ivan, for sending in your email. I hope that this is proving an interesting commentary, although probably not as informed as the last one. Now, the air raid siren has gone off here, and for me, this is where the slightly more serious element of Dad's Army creeps in, because they show, an established group of individuals go through an air raid. If you see, they're all ducking down. The camera shakes to illustrate that the bomb was relatively close by. And even though this is clearly a comedy, you can still appreciate the fact that that would have been scary and that would have happened. So, given that you haven't said too much, Angela, yeah, and one of the comments was that I should keep quiet. Why don't you take over a little bit and talk about the reality of the war depicted here from a non-Dad's Army fan point of view?
Well, I think it's just quite interesting because it, as you say, it mixes humour with a touch of how things really were during the war. And just how people, had to live in those times as well. It's things that you don't normally, appreciate. Just going back to the, the beer in the glasses and how people were just making do with everything. And we see here a scene where bomb's gone off and this is the bank, isn't it? And people just having to deal with these sorts of things in every part of their lives.
And I think they depict it well. I mean, I think you probably saw about three shots there of different individuals hiding under tables. And you saw the vicar and the verger. That was the
That's
first
right,
shot. Yeah.
yeah.
And also in Mannering's front room, they all ducked underneath the table. And that was completely true. I remember from my days at school and studying Second World War, is that the advice issued was to get under a table, because it actually, even if the rest of the building you were in collapsed, it allowed you a bit of a respite, a small hole. And that was, I mean, depicted well, and also without making a big song and dance about it. It was accurately represented in this episode. And of course, going back to the actual plot to this episode here, now we've got Mannering in a much more comfortable situation, because even though it doesn't necessarily warrant any authority over the other members of the platoon here, because they're not in a an army situation, he starts bossing people around because he is the manager of the bank. And so all that uncomfortableness is gone. And
if he's suddenly back into his old role, isn't he? Even though he hasn't got the uniform on, it gives him something to do. It puts him back in that position of leader.
Absolutely. Which is strange, really, as I said, because the others aren't employees at a bank. In fact, you've got Fraser there in his undertaker garb and the remainder of the platoon in civvies. In fact, I'm not entirely certain the platoon actually appear in uniform a great deal, if actually at all, throughout the remainder of the episode. I mean, we'll have to wait and see now. Quite an interesting bomb set there as well, don't you think? I mean, you think, you know, these kind of sets are only used for 5-minute scenes. They've got the smoke going. It's a fairly, you know, devastating scene again, isn't it? And again,
yes,
probably fairly accurate. There you are. Some of the platoon are in uniform. Colin Bean now as Private Sponge, who is one of the few members of the cast who is still with us. I mean, he's obviously very old now, and I believe he's wheelchair bound. But he made an appearance at the 40th anniversary celebrations in Thetford this year. Now, if you look here, that money, which they are supposedly brought from the bank, this just shows how much detail was paid in. The actual banknotes were represented there. They were reproduced. I think it was just the top of each bundle of notes. But you hardly ever focus in on the notes that closely. But that was the level of detail that the production crew went into. And later on, when they count everything, the money and the coins go everywhere. And when they had to re-record scenes, it was a nightmare because they kept on finding coins all over the place. Because one of the jokes is that Jones throws the money everywhere. So I think I'll just go through another one of our emails, or I might mention a couple here. This one's from Richard Studs. Thanks, Richard, for sending in your email. Dear James, just wanted to drop you a few lines to tell you how much I enjoy your podcasts. My 13-year-old son discovered them about 2 months ago, and since then I've been catching up on each one, starting from the first, whilst also listening to each new one as it comes out, of which, of course, there haven't been very many, Richard, of late. This really highlights the big improvement in technical quality from the earlier ones, but particularly the sound. We are currently living out in Indonesia, and my son and 5-year-old daughter represent the fourth generation of the family to be bitten by the Dad's Army bug. Local TV is not too appealing, and our idea of an ideal Sunday afternoon here in Jakarta is to flop down on the sofa after a good old traditional English Sunday lunch and watch a couple of episodes of complete, minus the first series, video collection we have. We had a great day out of the 40th anniversary celebrations at Thetford when back in the UK in July, as I was just mentioning. We were in the small museum they have there, a former garage, I believe. I'm not sure if it's a garage, but yeah, I remember it being opened by Thetford Council. And that's a really good museum, and I would recommend if anyone goes into Thetford to check to find out when it's open. It's open on very limited hours, but it's got lots of memorabilia, not just from Dad's Army, but also from World War II. Anyway, sorry, Richard continued. We're in a small museum. I have a former garage, I believe. When a wheelchair-bound Colin B came in to donate a signed photograph. He seemed like a really nice chap, and it seems a shame that his name really gets mentioned, much along with the other survivors from the show. And yeah, I agree. I mean, it's funny because Colin Bean featured throughout a lot of the remaining, the later episodes of the series of Dad's Army, particularly 7, 8, and 9. And he just gets the odd line here and there. But yeah, he doesn't have a major part, but he's a great advocate and a great supporter of Dad's Army even to today. Richard continues, I really enjoyed the added perspective your podcasts bring to the episodes, and also the specials, such as the Frank Williams interview, my favourite of all your podcasts so far. Mine too, Richard. I thoroughly enjoyed recording that one. And the cast interviews at Bressingham. Wasn't too bowled over by the latest live commentary, podcast number 28, and feel James is a little harsh at times on the Jones character, But overall, a thoroughly enjoyable podcast. Congratulations on keeping it running for so long, and look forward to many more in the future. As I said, thanks ever so much, Richard, for sending in your comments. I'm never going to be bowled over by James' character, and I think it's pretty clear through my comments in the past why, so I won't go over that one again. There are times when I think Jones is superb. Now this particular scene that we're now watching, the Ring of Steel around the money, I don't find particularly entertaining. I mean, Jones' character, Angelo, I mean, to me, he strikes me as some kind of over-exuberant schoolboy mixed with a bumbling old pensioner.
Yeah, is this Jones here, the one with the hat?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
The one counting the money.
Yeah. I haven't really paid that much attention to the individual characters. I mean, the two that I know the best, well, actually the three that I know the best are Pike, and Mannering and Wilson. But the rest of the platoon, I don't really know at all.
Well, Jones is, I suppose in a way he's the third main character. Oh, excuse me. Is the third main character after Mannering and Wilson. And to me, I just said I wasn't going to go into detail, but I never... He's the silliest character.
I think Pike is one of the silliest, though, isn't he? He's supposed to be the silliest.
Well, I'm not so... Well, yes, because he's young, but also he's given a lot of truly, in my opinion, funny lines. Whereas Jones, usually... I mean, his funniest lines usually are, they don't like it up him. And that's only because that's what he's famous for. So I'm not particularly keen on him at all, to be honest. But but there you go. And I hope Richard, that this is a slightly more interesting or slightly different commentary. I mean, as I said, we're not concentrating so much on the actual episode itself here. We're just having a general chat about Dad's Army and discussing scenes of interest as and when they arise. Talking of which, this is the scene here. That I was referring to earlier, where they're all counting the money to try to make certain that the books, you know, balance with the amount of money that was in the vault. And towards the end here, we're getting towards the end of this particular scene, Jones pulls the tablecloth off, and the coins go everywhere, and you can see there that they're... Jones is trying to...
Flying off the table.
Was that almost a laugh there, Angela?
Oh, a very gentle one. But then again, this is a very sort of gentle comedy series, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's gentle humour.
It's actually... Do you know, that I've heard so many people describe it as that, as gentle, warm, life-affirming. It's just very uncynical.
I don't think you watch this to have great bellyful of laughs, you know. It's completely different, and part of it is it's a long running series. Part of its success is just the familiarity with the characters. It's like a bunch of old friends, I suppose, for the people that watch it regularly or used to watch it regularly.
Very, very true. And to be fair, I think the whole ambience of not only the actual program but how it was made, and when you get into Dad's Army and you get to meet all of the existing or surviving cast and crew, you see what affection they had for it and the way that they interact with each other. And it almost brings back a camaraderie which doesn't exist really today. And there's not many TV programmes that actually do that with such success. A couple of other Perry and Croft ones, perhaps, Heidi High, and maybe a few others, but the following Dad's Army has, I think, is pretty much unique. Did you see that scene there that I've been referring to a couple of times?
Where he pulls the tablecloth
off. Clive Jones pulls the tablecloth off. Yeah. I don't find that particularly funny, I have to say. But just picking up on another couple of emails that we've received. I've had an email from someone called David. It says, "Hello, James, my name is David, from Cumbernauld." Where's Cumbernauld, Angela?
Is it up near Newcastle somewhere?
I think it's northern.
It's northern. It's definitely up north somewhere.
We're based in London, so most places are northern to us. Anyway, so David from Cumbernauld discovered the podcast about 3 months ago and think they are superb. and I've just got up to speed with them. My brother Steve and I are huge fans of Dad's Army. I am 43 and he is 40. Tony is also an invaluable contributor. And Tony, he hasn't retired from the podcast, for those of you who have been asking. He's just taking a bit of a break at the moment. Just picked up the Christmas specials for £4 at Tesco's. Keep up the good work. Well, I hope you enjoy those, David. I think the Christmas specials are some of the best. £4 is very good. One further point. You're always having a pop at Jonesy, yet you think the dreadful Jonathan Ross is funny. Can't figure out that one. All the best for now. I understand your point there, but I think when you compare Jones to Jonathan Ross, I mean, you've got two completely different styles of humour. And I find Jonathan Ross funny because of his vulgarity a lot of the time.
That's exactly why I don't find him funny.
But a lot of the irreverent is very irreverent, whereas Jones I just think is very innocent and just has what I think a pretty unfunny sense of humour. So I hope that goes some way to addressing that. And actually, David puts in a subject title, Ring or Steal Around the Money, which is a quote from this particular episode we're watching now. Now, we're on the external locations here, and this is directly outside the, supposedly, Church Hall. And as I said in podcast 28, I've been to this location, and it's actually a school now. Kids still go along to that school. I forget what school it's actually called, but if you happen to be in Thetford, pick up some leaflets, do a bit of research before you go, and you can go and stand right outside it. And it's still very recognisable. From the days when it was used to be filmed. And this, of course, is the scene where they try and transport the money from the church hall to the bank, which, again, is a bit more visual humour, and it leads up to the climax of the episode. Its final joke, really. Which we'll talk about when it comes up. Just want to get through a couple more emails, two more, since we've had a lot of people take the time and trouble to send messages in. Next one's from Mike Pettit, who's also based in London. Firstly, let me say how much I enjoy your podcasts. None of the comments that I make are intended to any way detract from my appreciation and admiration for your efforts. One area I always felt the podcast in the past has been weak on is the sound quality. The voices were always muffled and distorted. On listening to episode 28, I immediately noticed what seemed to be a massive increase in sound quality. It all sounded very professional, and it was much easier to listen to. Whatever you did to improve sound quality, it's been a great success. All we're doing here, really, is talking on a voice recorder and converting it to MP3. I was in two minds about the new format. You could not hear the actual episode, but maybe that was a good thing. As I said, we're not deliberately trying to make sure that you can actually hear the episode in the background. I think the format stands or falls on how good the commentary was. And after a moderate start, it's all too easy just to describe what is happening. It got rather good, i.e. the difference between the pub interior obviously not comporting with the exterior shots was a neat comment, as were countless others. I think the idea of having two people discussing the episode is a good idea. If both have insights, this cuts down on dead air time and keeps the comments relevant to the point of interest. I listen to DVD commentaries all the time, and it is noticeable that these are always multi-person. Well, I don't know how much you've added, Angela. Have you?
Probably not very much. It's probably more useful to have someone who actually knows a bit more about Dad's Army.
Absolutely. But even so, I still think it's given me a different attitude to discussing Dad's Army. This final scene here, where you see the horse go across, and of course you get the classic where you have been watching. You know, it's okay to me, but I didn't find it particularly funny. I'm not entirely certain where that was filmed either, and I'm not even because obviously the last shot there was all in. You know, all of the characters were actually quite small. I'm not even certain that it was the actors themselves who filmed that. The very last podcast, very last email that we received is from Paul Thursden, a regular contributor and emailer to us here at the podcast. Hi, James. Just popped my copy of Ring Them Bells into my laptop's DVD while simultaneously listening to your marvellous commentary. I managed to get it all pretty much in sync. That was fantastic. Especially enjoyed a bit of history and a background on the Six Bells and other locations. Awesome. More of this, please. And Paul writes from Australia. Thank you very much indeed, Paul, for your comments and everyone else who sent in your messages. Very, very much appreciated. Well, we've now got through the entire episode, probably without talking about it particularly, in any great detail. Again, please let us have your comments on what we've been talking. In particular, feel free to email Angela. Either tell her which episodes you think she should watch if you want her to get into Dad's Army, or just say that perhaps it's better with just me, who knows? Anyway, thank you very much indeed again for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.